Lime, duh. Everybody, welcome to the Winter War Games Extravaganza. Night two, baby. Oh, yeah. Let's get revved up. Let's get revved up to get going. Oh, yeah. What up, everybody? Welcome to night two of the Winter War Games Extravaganza. We are coming at you Monday night after Monday Night Raw went off the air. And we don't normally record when Raw goes off the air. And I got to say, every time I watch Raw live and then we kind of go into recording, a lot of times I watch Raw on DVR or, you know, yeah, that's the only way. I watch it. Yeah. You know, but this time I watched Raw start to finish with the commercials and everything. I get really nostalgic for, like, being 15 years old, watching Attitude Era. Like, Monday night sucked because it was school. You know what I mean? Mm. And you're like, Monday sucks so bad, especially if you grew up in Northeast United States of America where, like, it could be the winter and it's, like, fucking cold. My knuckles are cracking. You know, I don't know why my parents made me grow up there when there are parts of the country where the weather's nice all the time, like where I live now.
Good for you.
Okay, all right. My dad just pressed the soundboard. I found that to be unnecessary what he did there. But yeah, watching Raw. Like, I remember I loved Raw so much during the Attitude Era. Like, whenever the fucking icon popped up that the show was going off the air, I'd be like so depressed because I had to wait one more week to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that unfathomable? One more week. This is our third day in a row of podcasting about wrestling. I mean, I'm not saying that wrestling is better for it. I mean, I think that there might be something nice about waiting a week if wrestling had that Game of Thronesy and, like, can't wait to see the next episode. You know what I mean? That might be nice. They don't even give us any time to think about what happened in the last episode. They even know it. They got all these recap videos. Like, they're like, remember what happened last week? We know you don't. So here's the entire segment. Literally, they're like, yo, that's one thing that's hilarious in wrestling.
Like, you had three times throughout the night, too.
You had Alexa Bliss, who's like now in full-on spooky boy, spooky girl mode. Right? And even her will be like, I'm a supernatural being that lives on another plane of existence. I'm crazy. But please direct your head to the monitor for a recap of last week's show. Right? She's like, I don't know if I'm coming or going. I'm crazy. Help me. Help me. But also, watch your step when you're coming down the ramp. Okay? It can be really slippery. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But anyway, so they have to remind you of what happened because they know you forgot because you're being inundated with wrestling. Like, War Games was what, 2 days ago?
War Games.
Yeah, like, that was yesterday. That was yesterday? That was like a million years ago already.
24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Oh, man.
Are you having a...
Anyway.
What are you drinking?
A fucking old milk latte.
8:30 p.m.
You know what?
Which is so dumb because I got to get up early. But bro, hey, everybody.
I had a Red Bull at 10 p.m. last night. It was insane.
Before we let's move on with the show. We're in night two of the Winter War Games Extravaganza. If you don't know what that is, that means we recorded a podcast for the patrons with the patrons, which you can listen to right now. Post War Games that came out last night. Tonight we are doing our post Raw / last Friday night. We're doing our main roster episode for the week tonight. That'll come out on the main feed. If you're listening to this, you'll listen to this for free. Considering supporting the pod because we're throwing content at you. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Tuesday night, tomorrow night, pretty fucking exciting. We will be streaming live on our episode on YouTube. It'll still come out as a podcast episode for patrons. We're watching Impact live and recording. Kenny Omega confirmed to be bringing the AEW title to Impact Wrestling. This will be the first time I watched Impact Wrestling since I saw Christian versus Kurt Angle live at Webster Hall.
Did you bring a sign? I feel like you brought a sign. I'm sure you did. Yeah. It probably said, "Kurt Angle, you're not my dad."
Yeah, me and Shebs went to see. We watched Christian versus Kurt Angle and at Webster Hall, and like one of those. Remember, they had the rings were like. I mean, they still have them now. Octagons or hexagons?
Hexagon. Octagon's eight. It wasn't eight. It was six. Hexagon.
Yeah. Anyway, that's gonna be pretty exciting. Not to mention, we'll see what happens with the whole crossover, and then Wednesday night we'll be coming at you with our normal. That'll be our main episode for the week. You'll know because it'll have the proper, classic Dan Black intro at the top, which many of you like and one of you very much dislikes. And that'll come out for free on the main feed. We'll be discussing Sting's first time speaking to Tony Schiavone.
Also, Shaq is speaking.
What?
Shaq is speaking. They just announced Shaq is speaking that night too.
Oh my god! I hope Shaq just attack. Sting just beats him with a baseball bat. You want to see Aaron? You want to see Shaq?
Do I want to see Shaq get beat up and Sting fight?
No, I mean, do you want to see Shaq? I guess Shaq wrestle Cody is what they're going for. Are you excited for Shaq versus Cody?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I am. Shaq versus Cody, yes. That's firm, yeah, for me.
Shaq versus Cody is the kind of match where you're like, that's so stupid. But and then when it starts, you're like, oh, I'll watch this. This is cool.
Yeah, I'll watch
it.
You're like, Shaq's kind of cool. I dig Shaq.
Shaquille O'Neal. Anyway, before we talk about, we're going to be talking about the main roster. You already heard them speak, but here we have the first lady, Erin Finnerty, in the house.
What up?
And he's here. He's on a tear. The supermark, the marketect. This guy needs to calm down. Nick Tulo.
I'm like starting to realize that we're probably going to end up podcasting Thursday and then SmackDown's on Friday. And then we just found out that also on Saturday is Impact pay-per-view. So we're probably going to do a watch along and pod then. And wait. Phil's going to kill us. And I mean, like,
we're definitely not podding Thursday, Tulo. We're taking Thursday off. There's no question. Okay. Unless I feel like podcasting that day. And then we do podcast. And let me tell you,
let me tell you something. We've done this before where after Wednesday, we got so hyped that we're like, you know what? We just got a podcast on Thursday and we just do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Damn,
it happens.
You can't resist. You're like a moth to a flame. When it comes to creating content.
Podcasting. I am now the king of content. I've been deemed. Yeah. I'm the self-proclaimed king of content.
Heavy lies the crown.
Absolutely. And, Speaking I'm waiting for you guys to fucking acknowledge me as the king of content. Right now, it's a self-proclaimed throne. I'm like Baron Corbin, like walking around my throne.
Baron Corbin, you're like Roman Reigns. You're not the head of the table.
Oh yeah, the
king of
the table. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the main
roster.
You're
a tribal chief.
I am the tribal chief. Will you call me the tribal chief?
I will call you the king of content. I won't call you the tribal chief.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, also just shout out, we got a producer Phil Pesalbani, the smooth operator behind the scenes, BTS. No need to ask, he's a smooth operator. All right, anyway, if we need to look up any information, if I say things that are incorrect, he will be looking that stuff up. Oof. Okay,
gonna have his hands full.
I think the biggest story on the main roster today is the unbelievable arrival of Rue Lopez.
Which yeah, Rue Lopez?
Is it Rue Lopez?
Rue Rollins.
Oh,
Rue
right.
Rollins? Rue Rollins Lynch?
This Rue podcast Quinn rocks. I mean, had no idea what you were talking about, even though I knew exactly what you were talking about. Like, what is it? Who? Rue Rollins? What?
Yeah, you're like, what did I miss? What did I miss?
I thought it was a debut of a superstar. Well, technically.
Well, it is.
It is. WrestleMania 67?
I actually, weirdly, I actually oddly have a little clip of Rue's. I have a live feed from into Rue's crib right now.
Oh my
the
gosh.
Music coming from her from her like little shrine thing, you know, God. Above the bed.
Oh, this is how she falls asleep.
Whoa,
yeah.
Who's the last kicker?
All right. Anyway, no, but guys, I was thinking about this.
That has doesn't put anybody to sleep. There's no way that puts anybody to sleep.
Has there ever been? Do you think there's ever been a kid born from two wrestlers that didn't go into wrestling?
I mean, not of this caliber.
Well, first off, you're talking about two. This, all right. I have two questions. First question is they probably exist, but I feel like most kids whose both of their parents are professional wrestlers probably will wrestle. The test of that will be Edge's kids, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's like if both your parents were lawyers, stands to reason you'd become a lawyer or whatever.
Yeah, but
it's
I feel so
like how can you be around all that fitness?
We've had so many kids that are just of one parent being a wrestler, but how many have been of both wrestlers? I feel like that should be common.
Okay.
I mean, well, but wow.
Have we ever seen a kid of this wrestling pedigree before, though?
Well, I think Edge, their kids are close, right? They're both winners.
That has to be true, right? There's two. Yeah. Those are two champions.
Brie and Daniel Bryan, Miz, and Maurice.
Well, right. They're not on this level.
Superstars, though.
I don't think Brie is on the level.
I mean, Becky and Seth is all
they're
time.
Like
this kid's going to be.
Well, okay. So the only kids that can. Let's just assume that we live in a universe where your wrestling accolades somehow are part of your DNA that you pass on to your children.
Right, obviously.
Have we ever had a kid that's this. Has this much successful booked wrestling genes before?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Because,
like, who? What other huge...
Coming from both parents, like, their alleles are both made up of champion DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, like, you know...
Technically, at the same time.
Like, yeah.
They both left WrestleMania as champ. Probably, right? I mean,
well,
what was that? I mean, let's do the timeline.
We also know this is the most progressive kid because this kid's dad opened the show for mommy. So, you know what I'm saying?
True.
So that's a
correct.
You got to think about that. Anyway, so the only other kids that you can make arguments for are, okay, Taker and Michelle Cool have a kid, right? Those are two champions. Taker's a bigger star than Seth or Becky. Yeah. So I don't know what this algorithm works, you know? Edge.
Like a rating scale, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Well, do you think
I'm glad we got the important stuff out of the way up top.
By the time, like, Rue is in ring wrestling, that Stephanie and Triple H's kids will be, like, the evil overlords of WWE
didn't even think
by
about
then?
Wow.
I think the evil overlord is going to be Declan McMahon.
Yeah, Declan's going to be running the show.
Well, I don't know.
Was it Shane's kid?
Shane's kids. But one of them's – well, one's Brooklyn, one's Declan, right?
Declan.
But Declan McMahon is – Come on, that's a heel. Yeah. No one likes Declan McMahon.
No one likes a Declan.
You go, oh my God, everybody.
Trump of
the- to be fair, no one likes a Brooklyn McMahon either.
I don't know if I made that up. Phil, can we look up what Shane's kids' names are?
Please.
Actually, can we look up what I think it's Olivia is Triple H and Stephanie's kids are like, I think they have more kind of standard names. You know what I mean? They're not named like fucking the King of Kings or anyway, I do think this is going to be it's going to be interesting. Can you have two parents who are heavyweight WWE champions and then you become like a therapist?
I don't know when you're ready.
Yeah.
Let's see the names. What do we got?
So we got Declan.
Yeah, Declan. He's
then we have Kenyon Jesse.
Kenyon
Jesse McMahon.
Can you spell that?
I missed the rain sound.
It's K-E-N-Y-O-N.
Like Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon.
And then
like Kenyon Martin.
And then Rogan.
Which, by the way, I can't
believe Rogan?
Rogan. Like Joe Rogan.
Rogan?
Is that an age order? Declan's the oldest?
It doesn't say. So it's Declan, Rogan, and Kenyon.
I mean, I would say this. Those are all heel names. I mean, those are all – that's like Pete Gass. I mean, those are all – those are like the Mean Street Posse. Like, those guys reek of the Mean Street Posse. No question. Then what's Stephanie and Triple H's kids' names?
Oh, my God. He'll get there. That's crazy.
You got to give me a second.
This is really important. This is you don't have that.
I got it.
You don't have that tattooed on you. You could put that next to Tulo's life rips tattoo.
Wow.
So we got
it's a hurt piece.
We got Vaughn Evelyn. Business.
What is
Vaughn Evan Levesque.
Is that a girl?
Yes.
Vaughn, like V O N.
No, V A U G H N.
Like Vaughn. Mo Vaughn?
Like Vince Vaughn.
All you Long Island guys.
Oh, by the way, Vince Vaughn. I was watching Wedding Crashers the other night, Dan. Last night, actually. You're very Vince Vaughn, man. A lot of... Is that like one of your comedic inspirations or no, not at all?
I'm not a huge...
aspires to be like Vince Vaughn.
I mean, I'll say this. Last time I saw Vince Vaughn in person was the... Only time I saw Vince Vaughn in person was at the Andre the Giant documentary premiere. So he sat two rows behind me.
Yikes. So
I was in the same row.
I guess Vince Vaughn wants to be like you, huh?
Well, I was two seats over from Triple H and Stephanie. The seat in between me was Skylar Astin, who introduced me to Stephanie. You guys remember that? You guys remember when he introduced me to
Stephanie? Oh, man. We should do a throw. And it's the old episode of you telling what you would say to Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, you remember that? I was like, you guys remember that? For the newer listeners, I met Stephanie McMahon. It was really unexpected.
Uh-huh.
And the line I wanted to say to her that I didn't say was, are you going to hit the gym after this? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Because I know that her and Triple H work out like late at night. That's like their thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I was like, would that make me creepy? And I didn't do it. And then I'm fucking annoyed I didn't. Because what's the downside? I would have, if she looked at me weird, it's a good story. If she thought it was cool, it's a good story. But what's a bad story is what I did, where she goes, oh, I go, hi, I'm Dan. And then she goes, I'm Stephanie. And then I go, oh, of course. It was just shit. I shit the
missed
bed.
Missed opportunity, yeah.
It wasn't funny. I can't be wasting these opportunities to not be funny because I'm podcasting every day of the week. I need content. And I am the self-proclaimed king of content. I think that's what I don't remember the accent. Whatever I said in the original story when that came out, that's what happened because I don't remember exactly. I blocked it out. But Vince Vaughn was two seats, a couple rows behind me.
Better seats than Vaughn.
But no, Vince Vaughn's not. He's not a. I mean, he's I grew up watching him, but I'm not like a huge Vince Vaughn head or anything. He's great, very talented. I'm more of a. I like Jack Black more. How about that?
I'm just you like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers, and I was just watching him perform, and I was like, "Damn, this is Dan Tutti." Just the tangents, it's too much. But yeah,
that's a good point. What was I talking about?
I don't know. Full circle back, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, Declan.
Yeah.
Declan McMahon. Oh, Vaughn.
Vaughn McMahon.
Vaughn McMahon. Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn.
You want the rest of the names?
Yes, please. Okay, Vaughn is not. Yeah, Vaughn's fine. Vaughn could be a therapist.
So you got Vaughn Evelyn, Murphy Claire, and Aurora Rose.
Aurora Rose is a diva search. I mean, Aurora Rose could be literally a fucking, she could be a superstar.
Murphy Claus? What was his middle name? Murphy what?
Murphy. It's Murphy Claire.
Murphy Claire, and that's a girl or a boy?
It's a girl.
Well, I mean, we got
They're
Murphy
all girls. And they've three Murphy girls too low. Kind of amateur Murphy Claire. Anyway, actually, that kid, that Murphy Claire's original name was Buddy Murphy Claire.
Yeah,
said that. Oh, you just said that? I didn't hear. you said that? Who
I
said
literally
that?
Said that. Aaron, you just said that? Before you did. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Listen,
well, I think we both actually said it, and then you were the third party to the fucking thing.
I didn't hear you say it. I got
head out.
Good for you.
Out.
It's fine. I love the copy.
We'll be here all night, folks.
Okay. So did any of you guys, before we talk about the Raw and SmackDown this week, but did any of you guys watch the Keith Lee doc?
No.
I didn't watch it yet, but I've seen a couple clips from it. And I saw a clip from that, and then I also saw some clips from the Lana doc, which I didn't watch yet.
I want to watch that one, though.
Yeah, and then I saw Lana on Instagram today.
Yeah, you sent
which I sent to you guys.
Yeah. I watched like 2.4 seconds of it, and I was like, "What's going on here?"
Oh, you didn't watch it?
I kept fast forwarding through it. I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Kilo, it wasn't that complicated, man. This wasn't. What do you think this was, man? This was like Clockwork Orange to you?
She was talking about her real truth about her tag team title opportunity. What's the truth to it? Or how she really feels about it?
I can't believe you're so confused by this video. but let me tell you guys.
What was the video?
Okay. So here's what I want to say is that I'm not sure right now if WWE is – just making all these incredible doc moments. Mm-hmm. Like I'm wondering how much of, I mean, obviously we're always getting worked, but like if you watch the Keith Lee doc, they're selling you like he is the new, he has arrived. Mm-hmm. This is the new guy. This is the thing. Literally, there's a clip. You see the clip of Vince?
No.
With Keith? All right, so this is the clip. It's fucking, first off, it's so awesome to see Vince working with superstars. It's like, whenever you see a clip like this, you're like, they're in Gorilla, and you're like, you're like, oh man, I want to see so much more of this. But Keith comes from behind the, it's like probably one of his first matches because he's wearing, he's wearing, remember when he had that, like, before he put on the, he wore like the,
oh
the,
my God,
the tank,
I don't know,
sleeveless t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, like the sleeveless Under Armour. And before he turned it into like a, more of a singlet style, you know? Mm-hmm. And he goes up to Vince, and Vince is just like, he's like, look at this guy. I mean, he's an athlete. He looks great. He says it right to his face. He's like, and like he's got good promo. He's like, all you got to do is make me believe. Like he says it to him. And you're like, what a fucking awesome moment. Like for Keith, you know? He's like, we're going to do big things. So I don't know. We read a lot of. It was a lot on the, you know, when I was scrolling the, you know, guys.
Oh boy,
sheets.
Dan's wrapped up in the dirty sheets again.
I'm in the filth sheets. The dirt sheets were saying that Vince is like into Keith. That seems to be true, right?
I mean, well, you know why, right?
Why?
Well, I'll be there all here.
That's because he's big. He's a big boy.
There's a lot of beef out here.
Totally. I mean, Keith has a lot of value there. But so you're watching this video and you're like, first off, Keith Lee is putting on weight at a tremendous pace, which, by the way, I'm all for. There's videos of him where he's like probably, God, I mean, honestly, there's videos of his early NXT days, and he's like, I don't know, 100 pounds lighter? Like,
wow.
Like, maybe not 100, but at this weight he's at now, he looks so much more dominating. Like
340?
He's huge right now.
I looked it up tonight, because when Sheamus was across from him tonight, I'm like, damn, man, Sheamus is big. Like, he almost standing across from him looks like Keith, almost make Keith look strong. And then we looked it up tonight, 340. The dude is 340. That's huge.
You're squatting.
You could squat Keith Lee. Dan.
Finally, you said something good.
Oh, no, it took us 2 days.
Someone you idolize.
I do a Keith. Right now, I'm at, like, I could do, like, four Keith Lees right now.
Oh, really?
I could probably get, like, four reps of Keith. But, yeah, well, actually, the thing about Keith Lee that's really awesome is Sheps has a lot of points about Keith Lee. And it's interesting. We should be dissecting Keith Lee because we should really follow this trajectory because you see a wrestler right now who went up from NXT, did everything you could do there, went to the main roster, is getting his shot. Let's see. Does Vince just forget about him? Does Vince hang him out to dry? Does he work to develop him more? I'm interested to see Keith's development because it's like one of the first guys coming up from NXT that we know for a fact Vince is into developing, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's see what that is because, I don't know, there seems to be – like we saw what happened with Alistair where it was like they were said Alistair might have been in the Drew spot to be headlining WrestleMania. Later. It didn't feel like that. So it's like really confusing. But the cool thing about Keith, Shebs talks a lot of shit about his beef with Keith, and he has a lot of really good points. He was pointing out that all his moves are like anime named, and that's awful. And he doesn't have great clarity of gimmick, and his promos are extremely stiff. But I'll say this: the thing about Keith Lee, his in ring style is like a blast. Like. When he had Matt Riddle had his arm in that hold last week, you know, like he had him in an arm bar, and then Keith Lee is strong enough to swing Matt Riddle like a weapon at AJ Styles in a triple threat, you know? And like I feel like you guys gotta remember the triple threat is the marquee match of WWE in modern times. Like all the dopest matches have been triple threats, in my opinion, in like recent memory. And you always need a huge guy, and we're not going to have Brock for a while. So if you can – and Brock's all killer at it. So if Keith can be that amazing big man, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he does. I do think he needs to find some kind of fangs. He needs fangs. You know, he needs to feel like – that could be like babyface fangs or – you know what I mean? Like something where you're like – sink his teeth into like –
I kind of like what he's doing with Sheamus right now too, though. Like I kind of like where he's going. He's like questioning Sheamus. He's questioning like that old savvy vet. Like, you know, obviously this is me reading way more into it and me being a complete mark, but I like that little part of Raw tonight where, hey, that happened last week. Keith showed up and questioned Sheamus, and then because what that does is that makes everything that happened tonight even seemed more important because, should we be questioning Sheamus's allegiance to Drew? Like, and this is something how many times have we saw before? Like, I mean, like we've seen like a million times. It's the friend that, accidentally kicks his buddy and then now. But like,
lock it in. Yeah.
But Keith showing up and questioning Sheamus is such a like nice little tool there that it's like, this is help driving home the point, which will also develop into a rivalry between Sheamus and Keith Lee, which is, guess what? Something I would love to see. I think it would be sick.
Well, the Keith Lee Sheamus rivalry I won't care about it other than it'll be a nice win for Keith because Sheamus is probably at this point in his career in Jobber to the Stars territory.
You think so? That's what you're feeling right now?
Well, I'm saying he's not – I don't think he's going to get the title again or have any kind of significant run. Or if he does, it'll be like for it'll be for a second.
You want to be hyped for Sheamus-Drew feud with everything that's going on right now?
No, that's what I was saying. Just jumped to the next point. I'm talking about Keith. But
Sheamus, said Jobber to the Stars. That's where he's currently at. I mean, he's not Jobber to the Stars.
No, Jobber to the Stars is a great spot to be. That's where Kane
– Oh, like a Jobber to Drew is what you're saying?
Jobber to the Stars means your job is to make somebody, when they beat you, they matter, even though you don't matter that much.
No, I got you.
Right?
I misunderstood what you're saying. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's an old.
I'll apologize.
What?
I'll apologize.
Okay, I'm sorry. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Okay.
Glad we got to that one quick.
Yeah. this apology, other than last night's apology?
Yeah, last night's apology took us an hour and a half.
I'm still waiting for your apology from last night.
My apology? You should apologize to me.
Now, everybody just count to three.
We need Aaron.
Thank God Aaron's here. Obviously.
Thank God Aaron's here. Aaron, we needed you last night, man. It was all. We need your mod. Capabilities.
Sheamus versus Drew. This is actually the first time I think Sheamus has something kind of meaningful going on, where he has this actual real friendship with Drew that is kind of, they're like, these guys have kind of, I think they're going for a kind of like, to be honest, it seems to be a little like stereotypical, like Irish Scottish.
Yeah, they're like, both from the UK.
Right? Dude. Like these guys just like fight. Accents. That's how they're friends. Like, dude, that kind of thing.
Can we talk about what Miz and Morrison with the accents in the middle of the ring?
That was
I couldn't have thought of a more scene directed at you ever than what was going on there. Because that felt like, and now I'm obviously not a comedian or trained in improv, but that felt truly like an improv scene. And when he went end scene at the end, I was like, oh my God, Dan, I can't wait to hear what Dan has to say about the scene. Now, you might rip it apart and think it's terrible. That's great. But while I was watching it and while it was going down, I was laughing hysterically. I thought it was...
I felt like it was like a little racist, no?
Yes, definitely racist.
I don't remember what they said. I don't remember the specifics of it. But I remember being like, oh, this is a little racist, right?
Yeah, something with a leprechaun came into the Irish accent part.
I'd take offense
like,
to this.
But
Aaron, your last name's Finnerty. How did you feel?
I felt offended. I felt slighted. I felt like I wasn't being seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurt. It was hurtful.
Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
Sammy Guevara.
In a word. Yeah, no. It's racist makes it sound so much more charged. But I just mean like it was kind of just like reckless. Reckless stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, then you fast forward to the end of the episode or to right before the end of the episode,
right?
And they're in the back, and Drew's like, you know what's going to happen next. And it's a Scottish guy and an Irish guy, like fucking brawling out back because that's what they do. This is what they do
because they got wasted.
Yeah. Oh, let's go get a pint. That's what they said. Pint, this time it's on you, brother. And then they just fucking.
Well, speaking of this, this is a point I wrote down. It's relevant right now. I'm loving. I mean, McIntyre obviously looks like a mill always.
Oh my God!
I actually did complain about his non coming to the ring to wrestle gear. He for a while looked like a very high. Wait, no.
Not tonight.
Okay. Remember, he looked like a really high end busboy for a little bit.
Yeah, his like street clothes that he wears.
He wore like black pants.
Well,
and
he
a black
did it tonight.
Button down open. Up.
Yeah. He wore tonight, it at the beginning of the show during the Pat Patterson like memorial. He was in that outfit. It was a black shirt with black pants. Like so,
right.
Whatever.
But
he wears
that's fine.
To
that doesn't
funeral.
Count. That's actually out of kayfabe, or they wouldn't stand there. Which, by the way, fun fact about. I'm glad you brought that up. Actually,
no, he's Did wearing the same the... thing there that he would wear into the middle of the ring. It's the same outfit.
No, too
that's
low.
What he would.
Too low. Too low. Okay. Listen. I agree with you, but that's not what he did. Okay, listen. Well, I'll get to that. By the way, you brought up the top of the ring, the top of the ramp for the Pat Patterson Memorial. Do you notice? It's funny because they all stand there. Not funny. I mean, it was really nice. They do it. I love the 10-bell salute. Love respect in wrestling. One thing I love is the traditions and the respect. So I love that you know you're going to get that, you know, and everybody takes it seriously. And they'll stand up there. Some people are dressed in their like full goof gimmick clothing. Some, you know, you're not booked that night. You can almost tell who's booked just based on who's in gear and whatnot. You know,
Dan, while he's doing this, has his eyes closed because he's imagining his 10-bell salute that one day he will get.
Absolutely.
When I fake my own death.
After he dies at War Games next year because he decided to call out Pat McAfee.
I called out Pat McAfee on social media, and he hasn't had the guts to answer because he knows I'm right. He knows I'm right. Let's actually check. I'll check my Twitter right now. But I did notice that The Fiend was not there.
He doesn't turn up for these.
Yeah, I was like, not even Sweater Bray was there.
No.
Like, I was looking for him.
He was in the funhouse. What do you want?
I think, I think Omos was in like the second row, so there's a possibility that he was blocking.
Okay, so, but no, Tulo, you're saying come down to the ring. I didn't enjoy when Drew would wear that. Yes, he was wearing that there, but when he came out for his segment, he was wearing a kilt, okay? Mm-hmm. This is before he came out to wrestle for the main. He was wearing, he didn't, not in the main, the co-main, let's call it, or segment eight. He was wearing a kilt. Okay, and then a tight black muscle long sleeve shirt.
Oh man!
And I thought he looked like a fucking the man. My question with the kilt is, I don't know much about Scottish heritage.
Oh, well, is it, I worked for a Scottish person for like eight years, so
I hope comfortable wearing the kilt, and Vince is not being like wear it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Defer to Aaron here. What'd you say, Aaron?
I worked for a Scottish man for 8 years, so okay. I know a little bit.
Do you wear a kilt to the ring?
He wore it during like ceremonial things. It's not like everyday garb. Like you don't, walk to the CVS in your kilt.
So this is my question, because when he came out, he had a different kilt on. This one had some chains, some
the blue
accents.
One, right?
No.
The one that he came to like down, one of those like '50s poodle skirts, kind of.
The
like.
One that he came down in had was black. It was black. It was black. The black kilt matched the black top. And then when he came out for his entrance with the sword, he had the blue and black
the ceremonial kilt. So I think the black one's like probably his casual Under Armour kilt. Yeah, it's his workout kilt.
Well, I love the kilt. You know.
Yeah.
I love the kilt. I think it's awesome, but I just, as someone who doesn't know the culture, like, I always think, like, I'm like, imagine I was a wrestler and then Vince was just like, why don't you just, like, go out there, wear your bar mitzvah tallis? You know what I mean? Like, like, because you're Jewish, why don't you wear the tallis? You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I'm like, kind of like, is it like that? Is it like, but it's more national than, like, religious, right? So yeah. I'm sure there's no problem with it. But it fucking looks so much better than when he dresses like the high-end busboy.
Like insane. Yeah. He's got a casual kilt right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. The dude,
it's
going
to be the trend that starts sweeping the nation.
I mean, would rock a kilt, no question.
Would you squat akin a kilt?
Squatting a kilt is great.
It's great.
It's
no
a lot
restrictions.
Easier than shorts. You know, there's less resistance. Uh-huh. That would be great. Anyway,
just wear panties.
Yeah. I have to wear. Of course, I wouldn't wear any undergarment. Isn't that the story of how the Claymore came to be? Was that he wasn't wearing underwear when he went to give a kick one time? He told that story. He gave it.
What?
Backstar cut a promo back when they were. He was the champ in the PC, and part of his promo was that he went to. He came up with the Claymore because one time he went to go give a big boot and his pants ripped, so he just jumped turned it into a
vertical. His pants or something. I was like,
no, and he was like, well, his story was like, yo, because you know Scottish guys don't wear underwear. He literally said this in his promo one time, and I was like, this is kind of weird, but also it's an origin story for a move, which is like, that's canon. I love that. Mm-hmm. Which it never happens, you know. So anyway, that was cool. Anyway, Drew and AJ.
What I love about it was, what's so good about what's going on Raw right now is that what we keep talking about is that the main title picture is so great, and now it's so complex. You have it in so many different levels. It's like you have the briefcase with going on with Miz and Morrison. You have a AJ Styles, and he's got his match at TLC. You also have this possible thing going on with Sheamus and Drew. So, like, the main title picture on Raw is really – like just spread out across three different storylines, which is so insane and so complex, which we never get.
Well, I mean,
I feel like ever.
It's not as complicated. It's less complicated, but I think what you mean is more that it's spanning the whole show of segments.
Right.
And there's more people involved.
Right.
Here's what I'll say though. Yeah, I agree. First off, Drew McIntyre throwing the briefcase.
Oh, looking this up. It was so funny. He threw it into like next week.
He threw the
week.
Chair first. He threw the chair and it hit those LEDs. And I'm in event production. And I said, that's not good. Because if he's
–
any of those LEDs broke, that's a lot. when he throws the briefcase, though, and he breaks the LED board, I'm like, I guarantee Vince, this is the conversation. Oh, man. Charisma, don't ever fucking do it again. But wow, what a throw. I mean, he fucking...
It went so far. It was incredible.
And Tom Phillips, or even might have been Baron Saxon, was making up how it was like an event at like a Scottish like strongman competition. Oh, I don't know if that's improv or a line that they were going for.
That felt kind of true because he was wearing the kilt and it looked like kind of like shot put or something. Like it looked right. It looked like
got the spin.
Well, you throw the log at the Scottish like events. They throw those fucking huge logs and stuff like that. That's exactly what it felt like. It was amazing. What a moment.
Anyway, so I'm loving Drew. I loved his gear. It's great. They're figuring about. He's locked in. You know. Can we lock Drew in?
Yeah, locked Drew in.
Here's how I'm not feeling. I had dawned on me today. I was like, I fucking hate what they're doing with AJ Styles.
Wow.
It dawned on me that I was like, I don't need like funny AJ Styles at all. Like he's doing funny stuff. Like there's funny moments and I like him with the big guy, but like he is the best wrestler. Like he is the best wrestler. And you're like, man, like I feel like guys should be scared of AJ because of how talented he is. Even though he's small. Like you have a guy who's small who you could pull off a guy like Drew actually being worried about because of how good in ring he is, and you have him being like kind of silly and goofy, and it's fine because he's around. Because like that's fine. They're just trying stuff with AJ, and it's funny when Almas is holding him. I like that.
Yeah,
you know, but like, but like I'm like, he's still eight. You know, like when he's entering now, I'm not getting the like. AJ.
Yeah, I agree. It's lacking.
He's not the phenomenal one right now.
Well, you know what, Dan? You know, you mark out for a lot of different iterations of wrestlers. I think this is a new iteration of wrestler, of AJ Styles. I think this is the old man AJ Styles. I think he knows what he needs now. He's in this whole plan. He doesn't think he could be Drew. He's planning and scheming this whole entire thing with Miz and Morrison where it's like, yeah, you should cash in because if you cash in, like, then I have a better chance of winning the title. So, like, I like this scheming AJ. He's got the big muscle. I mean, this guy is gigantic. He's got to be at least 7'6". He makes Drew McIntyre.
He's over 7 feet tall, no question.
Easily he's makes huge. Everybody look small. He makes AJ look
He makes
so
AJ
tiny.
Look like a doll.
Yeah.
Like, so – you know
it makes
what?
AJ look like a Team America, like doll.
It's so
like a little, like a puppet,
or like an American girl.
There were so many moments tonight where AJ was in the ring and he was laughing hysterically, and I knew he was just having so much fun. And guess what? This is coming at a point where AJ's seen a lot of his friends, like about to thrive and have a lot of success. And good for him for signing a long-term contract because I thoroughly believe AJ Styles loves being a WWE superstar more than anything in the world.
Yeah, sure. I'm saying for me personally.
You don't like it. Yeah, I get it. But
like, think about this. We had AJ wrestle Taker in that fucking silly match, which was a good time. It was a good time. But you're like, you know, let's think about AJ's Mania run right now. Okay? AJ's Mania run has been.
Vince Gaff?
He lost to Jericho in the I think.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember
that. He lost to Jericho at WrestleMania 32. But Jericho, AJ's good.
Phil, can you pull this? Can you pull up AJ's WrestleMania run for us?
You don't think I know AJ's WrestleMania run? I go every year.
Dan can pull it from his brain.
AJ 32, Shane McMahon opened the show. You know, so AJ best wrestler in the world versus Shane McMahon. Fine, but it's like AJ. Then we had the Shinsuke match, which was the match we wanted, which was underwhelming, right? That just didn't work out because Shinsuke's. Sorry, everybody. Not that good.
He's good, but he's not good in WWE. Yeah.
Okay, but also, what they also had like a 25-minute match.
Well, not good. Fine. That's great.
But if a match with AJ is not good, whose fault? Who do I blame? Whoever the other guy is.
Fair enough, I guess.
Okay. Well, that match is not as bad. We said it just was. There was major hype for it.
Yeah, fair enough.
WrestleMania 35, AJ versus Orton. So that was cool. That was my favorite, probably my favorite AJ match. AJ beat Randy Orton.
Oh, that was with the lights.
35.
No. Oh.
That was when the light was in my face.
That was
Jesus
35.
Christ.
That's wait, what happened at 34?
That's
PTSD.
Shinsuke.
Oh, Shinsuke was 34. 32.
You're going back in time, buddy.
No, his main run is better than I thought.
Yeah.
It's better than I thought, just going through it.
But lackluster at the same time. Big matches.
He just hasn't
big
had
names.
Like yeah. He's had like actually his matches have been booked better than I think. But
I mean, he's got Drew at TLC though, so this is fun.
He's a 60-40 win loss record at Mania, according to the Smooth Operator. And anyway. But I'm just saying, the phenomenal one, like, I used to get, like, AJ, his music would hit, he'd do his big entrance, and you'd be like, phenomenal, and you're like, there's the best wrestler in the world. And mm-hmm. I just feel like I need, there has to be just a middle ground for it, you know? Where, like, when he enters, he can even have muscle, it's fine. But he's been such a clown that you're like, who would, if you turned on the show, you'd be like, why is this guy popular? I don't think he would get it.
Good point. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, AJ Styles was like Mike's number one wrestler, but he's been overtaken by Randall Keith Orton recently. And I well, think I mean, that this I mean, whole thing yeah. might have something to do with it.
I mean, do you have you well, seen Randy? Also, have like, you seen Randy lately? Randy. I mean,
well, yeah,
wow.
He's my stepdad.
Yeah.
RK.
So speaking of Randy, this week Randy Fiend a fun, you know, obviously not they're leading up to whatever they're going to do at TLC, which we don't know what that is yet. So it's definitely just like a bit of a filler week. But ultimately, in terms of filler, really entertaining. The Funhouse was a blast. And then the match of Sweater Bray. By the way, I don't like his new sweater.
I like have that sweater. I was going to put it on.
You can do so many different versions of the sweaters, though.
It's a nicer sweater. It's a nicer shirt. But I liked his other one that was more Mr. Rogers-y. You know?
Well, I think he had this on because the other one has the collar, right? And this one, he popped it off.
He might have been getting
the
too beefy.
Took it off. Yeah.
He needed a. He probably can't get the neck through his shirt.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the real question is
about
that is, was that segment edited? Because it 100% was, right? There's
because
no way.
He popped up under him so fast, you mean?
There's no way he popped the contacts in, had the mask on, put the makeup on, got the had everything underneath. No.
Yeah, it was taped.
Yeah.
It was definitely taped and edited, right?
The contacts.
That was big. That was Vince's big switcheroo on everybody is that he.
Well,
he
they should do stuff like that. If you're in the take advantage 100%. Of the I mean, that segment was awesome because he went for the RKO and he went for the pin as the lights were going out.
And
when he came back up, underneath him was the feed, you know? That was fucking fun. That was awesome. I love that stuff.
Which is what WWE should lean into more. Listen, it's live, but if the whole thing is what it is, if you want to throw in edited segments to make the live matches seem like more TV. Like produce, I'm okay with that because guess what? That's what happened tonight. And I was like, how are they going to? Oh, I said it as soon, right before the lights went out. I said, the lights are going to go out. And the lights started. And I was like, oh shit, how are they going to make this? How are they going to do it? How are they going to get a Fiend out there that quick?
I thought Alexa Bliss was going to pop up.
Me too.
I figured like Alexa. I thought maybe we'd see like.
She wasn't even here this week. So I have to assume she has COVID, right?
I thought it was me, Luke Harper. I was so wrong.
If only.
Where is he? By the way, I
thought it was gonna be Eric Rowan's spider.
His spider.
Eric Rowan's 6 second loss to Rock at WrestleMania.
Oh my!
That's the Rock's. That's the Rock's final messing match.
feather in his cap.
WrestleMania 32, but so my bachelor party.
Congrats.
Like, thank you. So anyway, the Firefly Funhouse was really fun, and I think in storyline it made sense Alexa wasn't there because it was like she's the weakness, right? So then he would hide her, so then Randy has to go find her. You know what I mean?
Think about that
because they acknowledge that because he was like he said in the promo in Funhouse like oh like Alexa's not here because like you were like not nice to her last week.
Yeah.
You know,
which I instantly thought. Oh, she has COVID.
No, I mean, it's. I don't think she has COVID. I think we were.
Whenever a wrestler isn't there from last week when they had a major crucial segment, I always think, oh, they have COVID and they're just hiding it. They're not announcing it. That's how I think. Well, because that's how I think WWE operates. They're not like an NFL football team.
It's only been 1 week. Let's see how it goes.
It's been
1 week. Look at me.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I'm digging where they go. What do you think? I keep waiting for them to announce what they're going to do at TLC with them. But it looks like the Drew AJ match is a TLC match, right?
Correct.
And,
correct.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre.
I mean, Jesus Christ. But
play it one more time, please.
Yeah,
and the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the.
I mean, it doesn't even sound like it's a real thing, right?
No,
it sounds very real.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre and Drew McIntyre for the.
I mean,
they need Drew to make McIntyre? Drew McIntyre shirts.
I said it's the fucking Adele Dazeem level. Like,
you know,
it's like
wickedly talented. Adele Dazeem.
Aaron, such a good point. That's such a good opportunity for them to make. I would buy a Drew McIntyre t-shirt for sure.
Definitely.
Hey, yeah. Aaron,
is there a funnier moment in history than the Adele Dazeem moment? It's got to be up
there. Talented Adele Dazeem. No, there's nothing funnier. And then when you like remember it, it's really funny. If you haven't thought about it for a while, and then you're like, oh my God, remember that?
It's like, honestly, I want you guys to dig deep. Tell me something that is like funnier than that. I always say, I'm like, I think that might be the funniest thing I ever saw in my whole life. Like,
Adele Dazeem.
Her name's Idina Menzel. Not even close to Adele Dazeem.
A very
not
gifted,
even close.
Popular performer.
And he's like, the wickedly talented.
He's like,
and he
I
has
didn't
the
have
fucking
his glasses
crazy hair.
On.
Yeah. Is the that, plugs. Wait, what did he say? Why did he do that?
He said because he Besides, wasn't wearing
he's a crazy
his,
Scientologist.
He said he wasn't wearing his glasses and he couldn't see the teleprompter, so he just took a swing at it.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Adele Dazeem.
You don't make up a name because you can't see.
He was like on one because the wickedly talented is crazy. Also,
Adele Dazeem. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's possible someone doesn't know. Just Google John Travolta.
We'll get the we're, you know
it's
Phil,
really funny.
Phil, mark it. We're gonna get this edit for the pod for a clip later.
Sound drop. But
the
yeah, it's
wickedly
the,
talented.
So good. Anyway, So let's jump over to this Roman, but the Roman KO match is also going to be a TLC match. I'm kind of surprised they're making them all.
I love it.
They're
don't be surprised because there's been so many TLC matches before that.
Yeah,
only two matches will have any kind of implication.
Tables, ladders, or chairs.
Yes. Now they're just saying fuck it. We're gonna. I'm happy about that. I hope we get a ladder match.
Is the Sasha Carmella match TLC?
I think it might be actually a ladder match, if I'm correct.
Yeah,
something.
I think there were like ladders in the graphics package leading
so
up to the promo.
This is what WWE needs to do. When they have pay-per-views, specialty pay-per-views, they have to make sure that all of their, or at least something, is included within it. Because a regular match on TLC makes no fucking sense. Zero. It should be
but it kind of does because like it's not that it makes sense. I agree, it doesn't make sense with the gimmick of the show. But if they're, I'm kind of like if they're all TLCs, then it's gonna kind of get stale.
No, not all TLCs, but one could be a ladder match, one could be a chair match, one.
Yeah, but they used to do that. They had like stairs matches, and then people complained about that also.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It used to be TLC. Remember, it was TLCS. Like there was stairs. They had a stairs match. They had just table matches. Remember, like if you go through a table, I think that's how Alexa Bliss took the title off of Becky Balboa.
Table.
Remember that? Put her through the
Power
table.
Powerbombed her through a table from the apron. I think I remember
it was just,
that. Yeah.
Just table matches. So I agree with you in the sense of like I like it that there's just the TLC match. You know what I mean? And then that's what it is. But
I think it'd be awesome if they include some ladder matches too. You know,
a ladder match is good because it's kind of classic. But like, I never pop for like a table match.
A
I always
pure
forget
chairs about. Match, so all dumb. Chairs.
Well,
they've had those too. They have had those.
The only
They the did the match, stairs match. I'm telling you. Yeah. Big
oh,
Show.
The stairs match.
I think Big Show versus Brock Lesnar, I think, was a stairs match.
The only match.
Match
that should be a tables match is the women's tag team match with Lana. And Lana should, like, literally put Nia through a table somehow. And that's right. How they should win the tag team title. That's the only tables match that should exist. But
so anyway, back to this Lana video. I know it really confused you, but well, because you mentioned Lana, I didn't bring it up. But then we'll talk about this pay-per-view second. So Lana in this video, Lana was saying like, "I know I don't really talk about my like aspirations as a wrestler," but she was like, "Look, I understand that I'm not as good as a lot of the other women." She's like, "I'm always kind of like." In terms of learning, it takes me double the time than a lot of them. But she's like, "I want to be the champion." And like, I know you're like, "Oh, Lana, be the champion." And she's like crying in the video. Mm-hmm. And you're like, is this a – I'm like, it's definitely a work because anything on Instagram is a work, you know. Even if she doesn't think it's a work because
my
you're
whole
recording
Instagram's
it.
A work. Yeah, my whole
right?
Instagram's
like, a work. Just because you're hitting recording, you might be working yourself, but it's a work no matter what.
Yeah.
You know? But like when you watch her, she's a really good actress, Lana. Again, we saw her movie. Her movie was pretty good.
Another version of you.
Yeah, it was a decent movie.
And you can find that review on the Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. You watch the Cow Movie Club, which is on in a hiatus
archives.
For 2020. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I needed a break from watching Edge as a fucking therapist with a gun. You know,
and we had to get like a we have a backlog of movies now, so don't worry. We'll be back.
Yeah. Well, we have there's an infinite amount to watch. But there's a lot of movies that I'm glad we did watch. And by the way, if you're feeling like you want to watch these like movies with professional wrestlers in them, sign up to the Patreon. There's years of backlogs of us watching these movies. And like, there's like fun that, like that, there's ones that like, I'm glad I watched it. Like the Seth Green one, I enjoyed that. Had Randy Orton in it. That was a nice time.
And there's some that I wish I would have never seen. Like the River of Darkness.
River of Darkness
Molly.
Was the worst movie I ever saw.
Chasing
think,
Molly
right?
is the worst movie I've ever watched. I couldn't, spoiler alert for the episode, I couldn't finish it.
And who was in it?
I hated it so much. Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle. Who, by the way, fun fact, you'll only know this on the Cowpot. Kurt Angle makes the worst movies of all the wrestlers. It's not even close.
Oh my God.
He has the worst track record.
In the movie, it's bad.
Although he's in one of my favorite movies.
Oh, but he is in the highest rated Cow Movie Club movie of 2020.
Warrior.
Warrior.
It's an amazing movie.
So, which is a really great movie.
But he has a part where he says nothing.
Yes.
He literally plays a Russian MMA fighter who comes to the ring, says nothing, fights, and leaves. That's his role. So he's great at that. Because
everyone and left.
Yeah. Okay. The worst movie I ever saw, though, still, is Pro Wrestlers for Zombies. It's the worst movie I ever saw.
I'm glad
in my whole
I didn't
life.
See that one, but I don't still, think I could hate a movie more than Chasing Molly. With
at the same time, one of the best reviews ever was Pro Wrestlers for Zombies.
I'm glad I didn't watch that. We were going to redo it, so I'm glad we took a hiatus.
Oh, my God. Dear
yeah. Yeah, anyway, so check those out if you're some of these movies are it's kind of shocking you forget. Some of these movies have like De Niro in them and stuff. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
like,
the Batista movie we watched.
Batista movie had De Niro in it. You're like, whoa.
Oh, which by the way, I ruined Batista's day. Have we talked about this?
Oh,
no, we haven't talked about that. What's the story? What did you do?
So I saw a tweet on Twitter, obviously, and it was like Saturn doing an elbow drop. And people were like, not enough people talk about Saturn's elbow drop as one of the best. And I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God, he looks like Batista. So I retweeted the video. I said, now I remember why Batista's mustache looks so familiar. It looks like Saturn. Batista then retweets my tweet. Great. Now my day is ruined. Thanks. And I'm like, what? I ruined Dave Batista's fucking day? Are you kidding me? I'm dead.
His day.
He's going to fucking kill me.
That's an honor to ruin Dave Batista's day. Did he block
you? I don't want to. I wasn't trying to.
Did he block you? Or not?
No, he didn't block me. Better not. I probably
well because we know that Newman's was blocked by Baron Corbin,
wow.
Right?
Calling Corbin. Him out on his hair being photoshopped.
He's a little bit more of a delicate flower than Batista. Trust.
Batista, but the thing I said, you ruined his day is because Saturn is like in dire. Saturn's like in bad shape, right? He's like sick and homeless. I think he's all, like he has. There's like a whole Kickstarter for Saturn.
GoFundMe.
Maybe
he's making, I don't think Saturn's trying to create anything.
He's making like an indie project.
He has like an invention that he's
Saturn's Rings. Is that the name of his movie that he wants to get funded?
He's making a little indie project. Zach Braff is gonna direct. They're looking at Kickstarter.
I love it. Can't wait.
Are we pitching a movie idea right now?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Perry Saturn, so this feels insensitive. Let me Google it first before I start making
Phil,
Perry
look
Saturn
up
jokes.
Where Saturn's at in the day-to-day.
Okay, so, but we were talking about, so let's talk about Roman KO for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Roman opened the show this week. He came down to the ring at, I want to say, Taker speed. I mean,
it's getting longer and longer. It's insane.
He's really insane. Just like eating it all up.
He didn't get to that microphone until honestly, I think it was like 10 minutes, right? Yo, am I wrong?
Crazy.
I watched it this morning. It is long.
And the worst part is that the beat of his song is like the same eight bars over and over again. Bow now. And
I really think that's just as they're trying to nail his new song. Like, I think they got one shot at it, so they're probably working on it pretty hard, especially because they don't have CFO who could probably bang him out a sick song in a minute. So, like, I think that that's why his song is still the same, because they're like, we're not changing it until we're debuting his new song.
I don't think they're going to change it, man.
No, they are. He said. He told that fan. Remember the fan? He told that fan. He said he was going to come out shirtless, and he said we're going to do like a mafia thing.
Honestly,
and then he did. And then he said we're going to change my song. So two of those three things came true that he said. So I believe he's going to change it. He has to know it doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah, he has to, because it's the same like as Hogan going from Hogan to Hollywood Hogan and going to the guitar. Ba-na-ba-bow-bow. Like, he needs that. If he's going to come out
that slow.
He needs
some tribal drums.
Yeah. He needs something big. But at the same time, man, though, him still having that Shield entrance really, really. And if he's going to be coming out this slow every single time like that, that pace of that song and the pace of that entrance is working me, because it's so long.
Yeah, it's really
so
good.
So long.
I mean it's good. I like it. I was just like shocked how long it took.
Very but Taker.
Like, if the interesting thing about it is that it got me thinking, I was like, man, this tribal chief gimmick for Roman has like, the sky is like the limit with it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, when he enters at a mania, he can be in like full tribal gear, and you can have fucking torches, and like you could do like he can have such a fucking entrance, you know?
For sure.
It's gonna be beautiful. It's great. The thing about Roman that's so interesting, so he comes out, he finally gets the microphone, he gets on the mic, and like it feels like every sentence that he's gonna mess up, but then he doesn't.
I know.
Like, I'm like, all right, now he's gonna say something stupid. I'm like, oh no, that was pretty cool.
I think he's like really thriving without like a live crowd. Like the piped in boos really work for him. Mm. So I think he has more confidence with delivery. That's why it's unexpected. Because like when he's getting booed IRL, I think he feels like the pressure. But I think with the piped in boos, that's why he's like nailing it. And it's kind of
perfect.
Unexpected.
This heel turn couldn't have come at a better time.
It's great.
Honestly, to not have a crowd there, I think it's honestly, it's not having the crowd hasn't worked out for a majority of wrestlers, but at the same time, not having the crowd has really helped a lot of wrestlers like get over and transition into spots where if there was a crowd, people would have just gave up on them instantly. But this Roman thing is perfect without a crowd.
Yeah,
he's so comfortable. It's insane.
My only criticism of Roman, I thought this week was his first week where I was like, all right. Like he said head of the table like too many times. So like it feels like when he's grasping for something to say, he just says, I'm the head of the table. And sometimes you're like, don't just keep calling yourself the head of the table. That's weird. Mm-hmm. Say it when it's relevant. But it's such a minor complaint, like considering how good he's doing. Like I believe that something about this character that Roman's doing is true to who he is as a person and how he sees family or something, because the with the ease within he's clicked into it, and like he, it seems like he understands the gimmick, and it's kind of nuanced. He understands it so well that like when he's having those moments where like, and not to mention that the pacing and performance is the speed he needs to go at. He needs to look like a little slow, a little stern. He does have like an Undertaker pacing, you know?
Yeah.
Because he really is like kind of stoic, and he actually thrives in silence. We could go all the way back to his biggest moment in his run that I did not enjoy was the night after retiring Undertaker for the, you know, his fake retirement. And he came out and he said, "This is my yard now." He said nothing those 10 minutes. That was his biggest moment in wrestling, saying nothing. There is a lot of power, you know, as a performer. There are like, there are these people who are great in silence, who own silence. Roman has a presence that owns silence. So when Kevin's on the ground, KO at the end of the show, and I could barely make out what Roman is saying to him, and he's crouched over him, and he's got his hand on him, and he's just like, I see his mouth going, but I don't know what he's saying. And you're like, it's almost like he was saying like casting a spell on him or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is Roman finding himself as a performer. Mm-hmm. This is exactly how he's meant to perform.
Yeah.
Not supposed to be funny. He's a jock. He's a dead serious guy. He's about honor, respect,
family.
And literally being at the top. Yeah, family, and that's it. It's really fucking good. I mean, bummed that he doesn't call Kevin Owens fat. I you know, it just feels like that character would just be like, look at you, like you're disgusting, or like I don't know. It feels like he's 2 seconds away from it.
There was such a good moment that happened this week where he was like in the ring and he was like. He's like, I'm not gonna do this now. There's a lady in the ring. Like, grow up.
That was amazing.
I was like, grow up.
He already. By the way, if we want to talk about like guys who are really, he was really, really rude to Caleb Braxton.
He was
like,
so mean.
I was praying that he was gonna go all in and like rip her apart. I was like, if he does this right now, if he rips into Kayla. And, like, he said deep cuts. He brought up the bump. He brought up everything. And, honestly, it's not true because Kayla's killing it. Like, and for her to be out there, she did such a great job, too. And then
Kayla's really good.
Yeah. And Heyman got involved as well.
She was asking.
Dude, that whole interaction with him and then him call.
Wait, Aaron, what'd you say?
Like,
Roman Reigns had an issue with what she was asking him, not I don't
yeah
think
she's like this is the biggest moment of your career, this is what a stupid question to ask
me. Like,
right, and well, her question was, what was her question? Are you scared of Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she's like, he wouldn't even acknowledge that, and he was so rude to her, and then he goes like, there's a lady in the ring, I'm not gonna fight you. Like Roman Reigns, he's so, what a great heel move. Mm-hmm. He's so full of shit. He has a code only when it benefits, you know, him. And let's compare that to a man who, by the way, I'll probably bring this up again on Wednesday, but a man who, a huge deal, MJF listed in the top like 20 performances of 2020, or like 100 in the New York
TV
Times,
performances,
which is, by
that
the way,
huge.
Yeah, like New York Times. Welcome to the club. Like,
yeah.
New York Times,
hello,
thank
New
you
York
for finally
Times.
Waking up. You know what I mean? I know you're too busy watching the fucking The Crucible on Broadway for fucking 30 years that you can't think that
an
art form.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Yeah, wrestling's an art form. Yeah, MJF, he's next to the Queen's Gambit in the New York Times.
Yeah, he wasn't just in the article. Like, he was like bottom left-hand corner of the graphic next to...
And he's an excellent performer. I mean, so it's like, yes, finally wrestling is like getting its due, and it's becoming respected and cool in that kind of way and mainstream in that way. And that'll happen more and more as it becomes the only live form of entertainment that exists. Mm. But I'll say this, MJF, I rewatched the steak dinner segment with Jericho. And he has the same exact move that is so funny. That rewatch that if you want, just the beginning, even before they sing, when they're ordering the steaks, and they're just trying to out rare each other on steaks. it's fucking funny. But MJF is so rude to the waitress. Her name is Velma. He keeps calling her Thelma. And Jericho keeps correcting her, and he doesn't change it. He's rude to her. And then Jericho's like, what's going on here, man? Like, you've been rude to everybody since you get here. He's like, who was I rude to? Even though 1 second earlier he was such an asshole to the waitress. That's a great – when you have a blind spot for your heel dome, you don't even see it and you think you're good, that works fucking really well. But, man, congratulations to MJF.
Big congrats.
Yeah.
Congratulations to us. I mean, like, I feel like –
Yeah,
congrats to us.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, we've been working really hard. I've been saying that Bray Wyatt should win an Emmy. Like, I mean, what he's doing on TV is better than like 95% of the shit that's going on. So, like, week in, week out, a terrorizing character on TV that literally scares the ever living shit out of me. I mean, no other TV show is doing that. I'm sorry, but the dude deserves a fucking Emmy. I mean, give the fucking guy what he deserves. I mean, like, let's go.
I couldn't disagree more. This is the only year that it's possible wrestling could get Emmy nominees because there's not that much TV. You know what I mean?
Right.
So but, like, no, I mean, look, dude, don't get me wrong. I mean, Emmys, all awards season, all awards. It's the same thing with comedy. Comedy's also underrated. It's all about the drama. Like, everything's the drama. You know, I watched I was just talking about this. I was like, someone was talking about Aubrey Plaza's performance in something. And I was like, yeah, she's great. And then I was like, oh, I watched that movie, Ingrid Goes West. I saw that.
I love Ingrid Goes West.
I'm like, that was a fucking – she's so good in that movie. And you're like, these things just go under the radar. Like, all these great performances go under the radar. All these great comedy performances. It's like making somebody laugh and pulling and making something grounded and believable. You know, you don't want to end up like Pat McAfee, where you make something completely unbelievable. He got in there, he turned War Games into a Make-A-Wish, for a punter.
That's fire.
You know what I mean? Well, he did that, by the way. I've been thinking more and more about it. I watched him. He gets everybody's there waiting. The two teams who hate each other all wait there to catch him, right? When he jumps off the – we would all do a flip off the cage if you knew eight wrestlers are going to catch you. Eight pro wrestlers are going to catch you.
100%.
Would you do a swanton off the cage, Tula, if you knew – you're going to get caught by all these great NXT talents.
I'd do a swanton off the cage if fucking eight guys weren't standing there to catch me. It's like right
just,
now.
Just for the footage.
Just for fucking to do it, man.
Yeah, because I jump like that last shot in The Wrestler. Like, that's the end of my life. It's like, it's just to know that's what it was to go off that cage. Absolutely. Well. Anyway, and then when he had those moments where he was just doing the Rocks promo, it's like, when he, like, wrestling fans are so fucking sharp. You're not going to get a Rock reference past us when you're supposed to be actually angry. It's not what your character is. Your character is real. You're playing it real. You can't cosplay. Oh,
I know what he said.
We were here running the show from top to bottom.
He's trying to like hone in Rock so hard there.
God. Well, if you want it to be Rock, that's fine. But then come out in glasses. Come out in $30,000 shirts. Like, you know what I mean? Be like, yo, I got that podcast money, bitch. Like, whatever. Like that, you know, like, then do that.
I bought these guys. Handing these dudes money.
Yeah, he said he bought them in the promo before the match.
Instead, he looked like he just kicked a couple fucking punts outside the WWE studios and then came in and wrestled for a little bit.
I mean, it doesn't matter because a lot of people, I saw a lot of posts today and people were like, that's cool that he jumped off of it. That's all it takes for the Marks. The Marks, all they're like, oh, look, he jumped off this. That's good enough, as opposed to the fact that you didn't realize you didn't care. You weren't vested in the story of the match, you know, which is what matters more. Anyway, KO versus Roman. I'm not, but again, I'll go back to saying this every time. Full on coming from a place of jealousy of Pat McAfee that he got to do that. Admittedly, coming from a 100% place of jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so KO versus Roman, we'll have them at TLC. I mean, there's no chance Kevin Owens wins that match. KO is just being fed to Roman. I just wonder what
the perfect person to be fed to him, though. Like, he's this is so awesome, man. I mean,
what is the plan for Roman? Because I can't even really see what's the trajectory of
the never
Roman
lose again
on SmackDown. Like, who's going to beat him? They, as a matter of fact, the problem is, like, Roman is one of the only guys in wrestling built to be as strong as he is. He might be the only guy. And the downside there is that he has no division. He has no peers, you know?
He's literally, I don't think he's going to lose again for a very, very, very long time. I don't know who will do it, and I don't see anybody, honestly.
There's only one guy who that has the clout to wrestle him, and it's Brock, and that's why it happens every time. Brock's the only guy. Like, who, honestly, what's a Brock and The Rock? Like, Cena, like, he's on that level, and he's beat all these guys already. He's beat all the guys I just said. Oh, not The Rock, but whatever, he's not a wrestler. So who wrestles The Roman? Seth, I guess? Seth could come back and look strong?
No way.
Seth can't really wrestle him and beat him with the Messiah gimmick, right?
No, Messiah gimmick is not there. It can't be Messiah.
Messiah gimmick.
And it can't be face either. It can't. It won't be successful. It won't be successful if he comes back as the face. Unless it's something completely different.
I think he'll come back as, like, even more of a zealot because he's, like, had a child maybe and, like, he is on, like, a higher plane now that he's a father. Yeah.
Like he should come baby.
Out, it's just like
he should
baby
come out
Jesus.
With a real baby.
Yeah.
He should come like out with Rue. He should have
Rue Rollins.
Rue Rollins.
Her in-ring debut.
Yeah. I'm like, the only guys who could probably beat Roman are Drew, who already lost to him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to run that back, they can, but they're on these different shows.
Randy?
I mean, Goldberg, maybe? You know?
Jesus.
It's really interesting. That's why they need to build up guys like Alistair and stuff. They need more.
That's not happening, so don't even worry about it.
It's not happening, but I'm saying, all right.
Well, they're building up Riddle.
Right, he's on Raw. They're building up Riddle, but they're making him a little bit of a clown right now, which I like, by the way. I thought he was great on Raw.
Two weeks in a row.
I love the bronauts. 3 weeks in a row. I love the bronauts. I think it's a funny use of Riddle. It's not like making me like die of laughter or anything.
Oh, it's not
very
like,
clear character.
It's not like boobs on your back kind of jokes that they had to make sure that they brought back
they
later on
later.
The show. Oh, come on. Does Vince really think that's that good of a joke that we
that
need
is
to
classic
that
Vince
back?
Humor. That he loves that joke. Loves. I mean, Shayna Baszler, I was watching and like you guys know I'm not like
I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
I'm not a huge Shayna Baszler mark. You know that. I don't think she's that good. But I was feeling for my, you know, the listener. A lot of you guys are big Shayna marks. You like her. And that joke, and then they repeated it. I was like, man, I feel bad for anyone who's a Shayna fan. Like, she does not deserve to be involved in this stupid boobs joke.
It's
you know?
So bad, man.
Like, even I'll give her that, you know? But I thought Nia was pretty cool when she like, Nia is so menacing looking. Like, she's fucking huge. It's like Nia, when she just stood there and was staring at Lana, you're like, wow, she's massive. You know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sasha Carmella for a second. So Carmella had a promo this week. I'm trying to still figure out what Carmella's gimmick is exactly. Lime.
What flavor is it?
I'm trying to. I don't think there's any clarity on it. I think that it's what Vince has wanted for a while. He wants. One of that, which I agree with him. He tried to give this gimmick to Lana, and then he pulled it. He tried to give it to Emma, if you remember, which is like hot chick, right? Like, and he tried to give it to Emma, and then he tried to give it to Mandy Rose, and it just it just didn't really work. And I think he's trying to give her the gimmick that's like, I know I'm fucking sexy, I'm hot, and so I think that's just her thing. It's like she, I'd say the things we know about Carmella's new gimmick is. She can snap to turn off cameras. So she has some kind of control over the camera. We know that now. She didn't have that before.
All right, listen.
She calls herself really hot. She's like, I'm really hot, which I love.
Yeah.
I love. I wish she would go even further with it. If she's like, hold on, I need to look at myself because I want to, she like, just be like, I'm so hot. Like, I feel like she should just be like, hold on, let me look in the mirror because I just mentioned how hot I am and I need a taste. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But instead, she kind of just awkwardly called herself hot, which was like kind of weird. You know, she didn't nail this promo this week. I see what she's trying to do. She didn't nail it. And then the other thing she said is that, oh, she didn't work that hard to be good. That was her other thing.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right?
I mean, they have a couple more weeks. What's TLC, like the 20th or something like that? Mm-hmm. So they have a couple more weeks to kind of like go home and bring this all in. So I'm excited. The best part about it is that they really haven't like wrestled. You know, I think a lot of times in WWE, they'll give you a tease. They'll throw them in a tag match. They'll get their hands on each other. I don't want them to do that. I want this to culminate at like TLC in a match. I hope it's a ladder match because honestly, Mel has won Money in the Bank 2 times officially, I guess. The 2-time Money in the Bank. And so like, I feel like she's got ladder match experience. I feel like it's a good match for Sasha. I feel like that's what will really bring it home. If it's just a regular match, I think it's just going to under-deliver, unfortunately, for them, even though I think they're just both millions and millions of dollars at whether they're in the ring or outside the ring. They just look insane, and that's what I want out of them.
I'm excited to see what they do. I'm a mark for Carmella and Sasha, so I'm excited to see what it is. I think Carmella is on to something. I think this gimmick is a really good fit for her. I think she needs to go more ridiculous.
You know what she needs? You know what?
Someone to follow her with a mirror.
She needs an entourage. She needs the whole entourage. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Social media, just blow it out the water. Like, give her the whole treatment. Like, let her do the whole, like, Real Housewives of wrestling, you know, kind of thing. Or whatever, Total Divas, whatever it is. Do that whole thing. Combine everything together and make it insane.
Because just make it like full narcissism. Yeah. I think also, by the way, Ava Marie is signed to WWE. That's fully confirmed.
Really?
Yeah. So she'll be coming back.
Where'd you get that from?
Brother.
I mean, where do you think I got it from?
And dirty sheets. You got to take those sheets to the cleaners.
It said she's listed. What I read, it could be not true. First off, I saw this a couple times. And like, once I see something 3 times, it normally is true, is what I noticed. Is that I saw that she was coming back. I also saw that Melina signed again. That I heard that too. I don't know if that I can't confirm if that's true. But
I saw her wrestle a lot last year on the Indies. I think she went to TNA.
She was in NWA, right?
I don't know.
Oh, she's in TNA now? She went to TNA instead?
She went Impact or something. She went somewhere recently. I forgot okay. what
She was in NWA for a little bit. I watched her on Power.
Yeah. That's what it was, NWA.
Yeah. So, and then, but Eva Marie, they said that she's listed on their roster, but not on the website yet. Like, she's on their, you know, so, I don't know, I guess we'll see her again. But anyway, how fast do we get Becky back? That's my main question before we head out of here.
Well, I don't know. Like, so you got to give her at least, like, 12 weeks or whatever.
I'm a dumb man, Aaron. I don't know.
Well, I think the standard if you're a mom is like you get at like 12 weeks or something. I don't know what the law is anymore. But then after that, who's to say? She's in good shape. Like you saw her. I saw her on the Black and the Brave training Instagram, like on a bike, full pregnant. She's like one of those pregnant people who only got pregnant like in the front, so she still looks really fit.
Yeah.
So I think exactly she could be what back. To do with her. You know, money by Mania.
Have her be a surprise entrance in Money in the Bank. Have her win the briefcase. Have her have the briefcase.
It's a waste. Becky doesn't need a briefcase.
Nah. She doesn't need
Becky's
it.
The number one best female wrestler. She doesn't. She also doesn't need a briefcase because she gave up the title. So she already has a claim to it, right?
Yeah. Just bring her back at Mania.
I mean, obviously Becky with a case would be cool. The case is just awesome. But I just do think that Becky doesn't need a case because she is the best. Also, the best thing about Becky is
I don't know though. That's hard. So unfair. I don't know if she's gonna be back. I don't know if she's gonna be back.
Seth can just wrestle right now. It's so unfair.
Yeah, he could be back because like they're in Davenport. You know, they're not in. I don't think they're not in Florida. So, what's she gonna do? Like move the baby? Like I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Right. She can't come back for like a year probably. Right.
Yeah.
To get like back into like ring shape and everything like. Yeah.
She's in shape. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's like, I think she's going to be a good, responsible dad. So.
Man.
The dad.
The dad is, she should call herself the dad. What do you
said that from the beginning. Why'd they call her the mom? The t-shirts should have said the dad, not the mom.
Yeah, you're right. It should have said the dad.
It makes sense. It should be the dad and Seth Rollins.
Do you think that Vince uses their baby in kayfabe?
100%.
Yeah, 100%, right?
I'll sue to Randy's.
We'll see if she allows it.
We'll see if she allows it.
I mean, they used AJ's wife in kayfabe, right? I mean, they'll use anybody in kayfabe.
Didn't Miz and Maurice use
the baby? Wendy!
Yeah, with the Fiend.
Yeah.
Oh, Wendy.
Wendy. Samoa Joe. One of the best announcers going. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, look, I think we're in that weird, the main roster, fun stuff happening. We're definitely in that weird zone before the pay-per-view. And they kind of, I would say they've announced a lot of the matches a lot earlier than they always do, right? Like, we know this card pretty far in advance.
I'm actually pretty
December 20th?
Yeah.
We're 2 weeks away. We know a lot of the card already. Right. You know?
We know both title matches. We know we're going to get Randy versus Bray. We're going to get
Bianca versus Bayley, probably, right?
I don't know if that will happen at TLC. We'll get Sasha versus
maybe Riddle versus Lashley.
We're going to get the women's tag team match. We're going to get, Riddle versus Lashley, probably. So I think we'll probably get Sammy versus DB. Or no, did he move on after DB? Forgot. But man, I think it's fun. I think they're finding a unique way to make all the titles relevant right now. I think that's what they're going for, and which is something that WWE has continuously failed on. Even the tag team titles have. I mean, there's like three tag teams in all of WWE, but
I agree with you. Except for the tag titles.
Yeah, but that stuff with Kofi tonight and Cedric Alexander was actually kind of entertaining.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
A beast. I mean, this guy's got untapped potential. Oh my God, I don't even want to get into Ricochet and where he is.
I actively skipped over that.
Mixed tag match. I mean, this guy.
I was just staring at Dana Brooke's black eye the whole time because I was like so uninterested.
The match ended in 4 seconds. What is going on with Retribution? I don't even know.
Retribution is so bad, you guys. It's so lame. It's so lame. And it makes Mustafa Ali lame by proxy.
Did they call him something else now? Is he called Revenge Ali or something now?
Oh, no.
Did you see they call him I couldn't even understand because I just zoned it out. Slapjack. I mean.
Flapjack.
Flapjack. And oh my God. Retribution is literally the worst ever.
It's so bad.
Because Mustafa Ali, you can tell how hard he's trying.
No, it's not fun. He's
trying so hard. You know,
it's
he's
stupid. Make it fun. Way. Like, it's fun. Like, Mean Street Posse or Spirit Squad. Spirit Squad, that was fucking fun. That was they were cheerleaders, but they had fun segments. You could argue you didn't like it. I mean, I always say I liked it. So when Ziggler comes on the pod, he's always like, I started as a cheerleader. And I'm always like, yeah, the fucking Spirit Squad was cool, man. They were funny. I mean, not cool, but Evil's Cheerleaders is pretty funny. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were, if you remember, they were they were disciples of Vince. Vince literally reported right to Vince. Vince had a crew of cheerleaders. So anyway, Retribution is just maybe one of the worst things WWE's ever done. I got my eyes on Keith Lee, and I honestly think Lana. I think Lana. I'm really gonna keep eyes on her. I don't think Lana is good or anything at wrestling, but she knows. She knows where she's at. So is it possible? And she hustles and works hard. I wouldn't be surprised if Lana fucking puts in the work and then shocks everybody. She just has that kind of personality, right?
Uh-huh. I got that feeling too.
And she's a pro. She's a great actor. She's in it. I think.
And she got better gear now. She wore the worst gear I've ever seen for a couple.
Yeah. Seems more authentic. She doesn't have an accent. She's not part of a husband and wife couple.
I have a
anymore.
I have a feeling those bike shorts that were underneath were because something must have happened with that gear that she had or something, or maybe she would have went back to the gear, but this, yeah, I don't know. But I feel like those were like a temporary fix.
That's not her style at all. She's not like, prude or whatever. Like, she doesn't cover up.
Because this week her gear was so great. Her gear looked awesome. Like I was like, I'm happy for her. I think she's going to do something really special at TLC. I'm excited for her.
Yeah. So I hope, look, couple things. I hope we get some clarity on Carmella because I love this gimmick for her. Uh-huh. I hope they could define that a little more. Sasha's in a great zone. Loving where Sasha's at. I hope AJ doesn't lose his phenomenalness.
Loving
I
would like where AJ Sasha's
phenomenal.
At.
Loving where Sasha's at. Sasha, she was really great in that segment.
Mm-hmm.
Really great. I tell her it's good. I'm like, Bianca Belair seems to be on point right now. Yeah,
she's always on point.
You know, and that's something that WWE has always failed to is where like, oh, that fallout. Bayley's not the champion. Yeah, she's lost like 5 matches in a row, but whatever. But like, oh, they're transitioning like Bianca to rival the former champ to build her up. Like, you know, we never gotten that. I feel like we never get that before, like ever from WWE, especially in the women's division. It's nice to see that kind of like, oh, there's another women's match after the champions match that you're excited to look forward to. That could also be a match on the pay-per-view as well, you know, not just the title match. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we'll see where it all goes. We are, I'm just, to be honest, excited about main roster. I like what's coming up, but right now my focus is on watching Impact for the first fucking time. God knows how long. Tomorrow night, we'll be watching Impact live on YouTube. Kenny Omega and Don Callis will be bringing the AEW title over to Impact.
Yeah.
Wild. We'll see what happens there. And then we see Sting and Shaq speak on Wednesday. Exciting times for non-WWE wrestling. You know? Mm-hmm. Pretty fucking cool.
What day is it? Today?
Monday.
Oh, now it's over here. It's Tuesday. But, like, wow. I mean, we're halfway through the
two winter. More nights of the Winter War Games of Extravaganza.
Wow. This is the halfway point?
I mean, Tulo seems to – he's already hinting at an encore, so we'll see what he wants. I already feel him, but we'll see. But, hey, everybody, make sure – couple things. Support this podcast if you're listening to all our podcasts. Go to patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Throw us a couple bucks. We're throwing you guys fucking tons of content. But you get access tomorrow night to our YouTube stream. That'll come out as a podcast. You can listen to our post-War Games episode. That's on the Patreon right now. And also our main episode after AEW Dynamite on Wednesday will come out late Wednesday night because we're going to be recording that after that show. Make sure to follow our YouTube channel. We're going to be posting a lot more clips to our YouTube. We're going to be upping all our production and stuff, so please support us. Follow all of our socials. @ComPodcast is our Instagram and our Twitter. We'll be posting a lot more on Twitter. Follow my personal stuff @DanBlackAttack. That's my Instagram and my Twitter. I'm going to be healing off at Pat McAfee for a little bit. Make sure to check that out. And obviously join our Facebook group. I mean, there's a lot to do. This is the Cow 25D experience.
You got something for everybody, man. You may not be into Twitch, but watch us on YouTube. You may not be on Twitter, but follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Whatever you do, just follow us, man, as much as you can, because the content that we're putting out right now is
spice. All right, everybody. I got to go to sleep because I got to wake up to I got way more wrestling to focus on tomorrow. I need my sleep to ingest wrestling, everybody. All right? Hey, everybody. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work. I